This podcast contains adult themes, language, and situations. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Loki, did you just throw up?
No.
Okay. It sounded like you threw up over there. What?
So I haven't had much chance to actually, like, dive into any of these.
Okay.
So this is going to be very interesting.
That our whole podcast is interesting.
I mean, that's very true.
That's very true. 500 boobs. Yay.
I can't wait for Loki to get some.
Some boobs?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be my pillows.
You can go and fuck yourself.
Aww.
If he could, he wouldn't need you.
But yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe you should just try harder.
Oh,
I'm sorry, wow. I'm not built like, you know.
Is Loki a little rough today? An elephant?
Yeah.
An elephant.
Or a horse, I should say.
Oh, that's your own fault.
That's your own fault. Yeah, that's...
You should have tried stretching harder more, to grow them. You didn't try hard enough. Try
water them a little more often, you know. It's like... Oh, we should probably get this show on the road since we've rambled for so long already. So greetings and hello to all the pups and pup lovers. Lovers listening in. I am Barely Normal.
And I am Canes.
And I am Loki.
Yeah, he's Loki. And you're listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast about human puppy play and consensual sexual kinks. And I hope that everybody's parts are in all the correct places tonight, or today when you're listening, or if your parts are in somebody else's places, then good for you.
I want action.
I want to see the parts in other people's places. All right. Today's episode is a little different. We're going to kind of catch up with each other this episode, chat about what we've been doing, what's happening in our lives in general, maybe take some questions from listeners, and how life generally makes it sometimes impossible to pop out, as it were. So.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Life can get in the way, right? So how have you two been? All right. Good, bad,
we've been good.
Different.
I mean, so Loki moved in about 5 months ago. I think we did math.
About 5 months.
All right. Wow.
Yeah, time has flown by.
It seems like just yesterday we were talking about him moving in, and here's been 6 months gone by already.
I'm like, holy smokes. Like,
wow.
But yeah, it's been good. You know, we've, you know, been learning to live together in the same room. I mean, we only have a 10 by 12 room that me and Loki both live in.
Well, you've got access to the rest of the house. You don't just spend all your time in there. Or do you just spend all your time in the room?
We spend most of our time in the room.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. And work. You guys got to go to work.
And, you know, getting Loki a job and all of that. And, you know, getting all of the financial things and... Being an adult, basically.
Adulting sucks.
So when Loki first moved out here, we were sharing a lofted bed in the room.
Uh-huh.
And that was to give us room for, like, desks and thing. And
I remember that, yes.
About 3 months into it, I was just tired of hitting my head on the ceiling or my arm hitting the ceiling, you know, trying to do activities. You know, cuddling is very not easy to do when there's a ceiling literally probably 12 inches, 13 inches.
Oh, wow. You guys had that bed way up high.
Or say it's probably closer to like 16.
But like when you know, are trying to, you know, curl up next to each other, it's basically only sideways, like, that you can only do.
True. Yeah. there's no doggy style on 16 inches above. You know,
and then not to mention
it's like having sex in a camper.
But not to mention if you were trying to have sex, the bed was just shaking violently back and forth.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah.
So
yeah, okay.
It just wasn't really fun. And getting in and out of bed was also like when you're waking up at 7 a.m. to go to work, and the first thing you have to do is climb down a ladder. It kind of sucks. Not gonna lie. Okay. I will never do this ever again. Anyways, we bought a new bed frame, and put the mattress that we had up top on the bed frame, and then we just got an actual new bed. And because the mattress that I had when Loki moved in was about 14 years old, and it was a normal normal box spring mattress.
Yeah. Oh god.
So it was very lumpy.
The rule of thumb is you should replace your mattress every 5
years.
Holy
crap. So I got my money's worth.
You got your money's worth out of that mattress. But yeah, if you're unless you've got like a king size bed and it's only you and you can like sleep in different parts of the bed every night, you can make it last a little bit longer, but the rule of thumb is 5 years for a mattress. Okay.
So we just got a hybrid bed, like new technology with a cooling feature. So like as you lay in it, the mattress stays cool underneath of you, which is very nice, let me tell you. But actually surprisingly cheaper than I was thinking it was going to be.
I was going to say, is that like a $5,000 bed?
No, it was $1,200.
Oh, not bad. Yeah.
But we also got a full. So like
the queen was only like $50 more.
Okay. Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
The Cali Kings were like $1,500.
So did you go with a full because of space or just because? Okay.
Yes. We do not have a lot of space.
You're just that close. Okay.
mind you, like we're, in a small room, and then we built like shelves to like house our hoods and stuffed animals and stuff. And then we have like a whole bunch of fabric boxes with all stuff in it. And then like I have a makeshift desk here, and then Loki's desk is in the closet.
I see that.
It's better than mine.
Oh, you built the desk for him and he's not using it? Is that what's going on?
Using the desk that I whatever, it's fine.
Okay, whatever, it's fine, he says. All right. Sheesh. So life is getting in the way then of pupping out, apparently.
Yeah, so it's just like pretty much all we do is we work, we come home, we have a little bit of time, like a couple hours, to just like hang out and like do things on our computer or stuff like that, and then we're going to bed. Like we haven't even been able to like watch TV together.
Oh really?
Yeah, wow. it's been a struggle. So, trying to keep time for ourselves too, at the same time, and try to, make sure our relationship is good at the same time can put a lot of strain on the relationship when you both are working the same job type of thing.
Yes.
And luckily we do work the same hours.
But you're not in the same department.
Correct. We're not in the same department. Well, I mean, legally speaking, it would be really hard to do that.
Oh, well, I mean, but I'm just saying you work at the same place, but you don't work together. So you're not with each other 24/7. Because I'm telling you, the COVID pandemic killed more relationships with people staying home and being with their spouses all the time. That does not work.
You need space apart.
You need time apart. And I don't know how many I can count probably a dozen people that I know that got divorced because of the pandemic. Because when they realized they were with each other all the time, they went bug fuck. And it's like, I can't be with you all the time. So,
I mean, if the pandemic happened, and
that's why we're just going to get a big enough house. That way we could stay on the opposite sides of the house and never see each other.
True. True.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Well, you just put a big bed in between. You put a big bed in between the two separate halves of the house, and that's where you sleep at night. You know. So
we were actually talking about when we do find a house, because we're actually in the process of finding a house too. Nice.
Very cool.
And doing all of that. I mean, we haven't really decided on like how big, but one of the things that we want to do is we want to buy one of the family beds. That is like, that fits like five people across.
Yeah.
Like comfortably. So it's basically like two Cali King size beds sandwiched together.
That's massive.
Yes. And they're called family beds.
Do they make sheets for that? I would think, sheets would have to be as expensive as the fucking bed. I mean, Jesus Christ. I know how expensive sheets are for a California King now. A family, holy crap. It's got to be like.
Just buy an Alaskan King.
Alaskan King?
Yeah.
Oh. I guess that's different than a California
King. So an Alaska King
is colder,
essentially.
Clearly.
Oh, my God. An Alaska King is technically two Cali Kings side by side, if I remember right.
Wow. I'm surprised that Alaska got the rights to that instead of Texas. Texas usually likes to have everything bigger. So,
so Barely, you know, we're talking about you. How have you been?
Oh, I got to tell you, my last couple of months have been challenging, so to speak. You know, my mom passed away the day after Thanksgiving. Dad's got Alzheimer's, and so taking care. He's still not quite sure that his wife. He just thinks his wife just went back to Tennessee. He really thinks that his wife just left him here in Oregon and went back to Tennessee, which is okay, because it makes him happier that way. But it was a challenge to inform him that his wife had passed, and yeah. So you know, there's been that, and I go and check on him every day and make sure that he's doing okay. And he's, you know, he's in a little room. He's in care. So what can I, you know? But that's a couple hours out of my day every day that I have to do. So
yeah. Well, that's, you know, it's tough. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a lot of family. Like, so like, I think we touched on this previously, that my family is very tiny. So like, it's just like all my grandparents and aunts and uncles, I only have very like few of those left.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be hard losing those people that you are very close to.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and,
it can be tough.
To be fair, I was not very close with my mom. So, let's just call it out as it was. I was not very close to my mom. And I'm even less close to my father, but I have a sense of responsibility being the oldest son, and the fact that he's living here a few miles from my house. He's not living near my other sisters. The big challenge is if I want to go away for longer than 2 days and further away than, say, an hour away, somebody has to be here just in case something happens and Dad has to go to the hospital or if they call. So like when I went to Further Confusion last week, my sister actually flew up from California. Oddly enough, she lives in Danville, which is like, I don't know, 6 miles, 7 miles from San Jose. So... You know, she
should have just went to her place and then just commuted in.
Right. Yeah. So I drove down there. She flew up here. She was here for in case anything happened. She went and saw Dad every day. Luckily, knock on wood, nothing happened while I was gone. But it has to happen that way. So it's kind of like for my birthday trip in March, April, when I go to Las Vegas, my middle sister is coming from Wisconsin, and she's going to stay here at the house while I go to Vegas and black out on a daily basis, I think is what my plan is. While I'm there, I want to back up a little bit. And you talked about things that get in the way of pupping out. When was the last time you two got to pup out?
I can pup out by myself pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Probably. And again, it's very short. It's not like full gear. It's not getting into like full headspace or, you know, anything like that. It's just more of like, head empty. I'm just going to play my video game and just decompress. And usually I'll just wear a collar, for instance,
okay,
to kind of remind me that, like, for me, the neck thing is a lot of a trigger for me.
Okay.
To have something around my neck that reminds me that, oh, I have something there. That's right. I am a puppy right now. To help me just like stay focused on that, like, one thing. And usually it's very pointless game. So
okay,
you're probably going to laugh, but Lawn Mowing Simulator is what I've been playing.
A lawn mowing simulator. Okay.
Yes. Yes. And so I have my little, little minion, and I literally ride on a riding mower to people's houses, and I mow their lawns.
Awesome. Okay.
Yep.
Is it called Lawnmower?
Yes. It's literally called Lawn Mower Simulator.
Okay. All right. well, so everybody listening in, jump on Lawnmower Simulator and cut some grass. I mean, what are you going to do, right? But that's a good way to just get mind. It's like bubblegum. You just a way to decompress.
Exactly.
Do something mindless, not have to focus or seriously think about things. Because a lot of video games really are take a lot of involved time and planning and
yes, skill. So like we've been talking about like getting our own like Minecraft server for the actual podcast and trying to come up with that. But again, nothing is set in stone.
Nothing. No.
Listeners don't worry about it. No. Like immediately we will announce
it. If it happens, we'll announce it. Yeah.
So, yes. Uh-huh. Yes. We will announce it. We'll, you know, but when you're dealing with modded Minecraft, so like Minecraft in general is pretty simple, but when you start adding the mod packs into Minecraft, it starts getting very complicated with like power regulation, you know, storage, the amount of like things, because it will add like a whole bunch of ores, it'll add a bunch of tools, it will add like wiring and circuitry. Like there's a whole mod that literally does circuit boards. So you can literally custom make in a square, basically, your own circuits for like a logic thinking.
Ah, interesting.
But, so it can get kind of crazy, redstone and
that's,
all that stuff.
And that's not shutting off your brain. That's activating lots of big places. But mowing a lawn? That's just shutting off your brain. Like, off you go. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I mean, I remember years ago, and I still have it on my computer, but I used to play SimCity and Roller Coaster Tycoon. And
yes, you know, so it's kind of the same thing.
When you start out, it's simple, but as it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, you've got so much stuff you got to keep track of, and what's going on here, and how do you avoid this disaster, and all that kind of stuff. And I would spend hours, you know, and it's like, oh, look, 12 hours went past. I was a useless human being. It's like a Saturday morning, you started as it was. I remember that. I was like, I remember one Saturday I got up, I started playing Roller Coaster Tycoon, and it was like midnight. I never even showered. I never even got dressed. I was one of those guys sitting there, you know, just sucking on soda. And I was like, oh, this is wrong. So I want to ask you a question. Both of you guys, both of you pups.
Well, Loki, have you pupped out recently?
Like New Year's Eve, I guess.
So yeah.
That was the last time you pupped out?
It's been a little bit. We actually went to a New Year's party with some pups, local pups that I know.
Was it a pup party, or was it just happened to be a party that you went with some pups?
It was a pup party.
Okay. There's a difference.
Yes, there
clearly.
Is. This was people wearing gear and drinking and having a good old time.
Mm-hmm. Good old time. Putting their parts in other people's parts.
None of that. Nope.
None of that?
Oh, you can be a pup without the sexual.
That's true. I mean, we did have, there was a pup panel and mosh at Further Confusion.
How did that go?
It was great. It was very well attended. There was probably, I want to say, close to 100 people there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was packed. I mean, I know that there was probably 75 seats set up and there were people sitting on the floors in the aisles. And then when we put the mats out,
it was a Bay Paw still.
Pups having fun.
Yeah.
Bay Paw. Okay. Yep. I've never seen so many balls in one place in my entire
orange,
life.
The orange balls. The orange
play
ones.
Balls. Orange yeah. balls. Yes. Yeah.
Not blue balls.
Double entendre right there, I'll tell you.
I mean, I'm sure there were plenty of blue balls.
There probably were plenty of blue balls. Yeah, but so Loki, when did you first realize that you were a pup?
Oh God, we still back to this.
This is kind of a get to know you episode. We really never talked about when you first became a pup.
Yeah, realized did. You were a pup. Like the first episode.
Well, we'll go back again.
Fuck, I don't know.
People forget. You don't remember? Okay.
2016, how about you, 2017. Games? Maybe.
Okay. So,
well,
so not that
it was,
long.
Ago. It was a while ago for me. I don't know exactly when, but I know that around, I think my first pup photo that I still have is 2015.
Now, did you hide it from everybody first or did you just burst out of the closet going, hello, no, I'm a puppy.
No, I hid it a lot at first. I mean, I all basically right. lived a double life a lot of times. I mean, I still kind of do.
You 100% still do.
With work and all the other stuff. But it was more like very sheltered. I didn't really talk to people about the kink. It was me just kind of soaking up as much information as I could at the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I first bought my hood, it was literally so I could go to my first event because I didn't want to show my face. So I literally was the weirdo that was fully clothed in a pup hood walking down the street of Sacramento and going to literally it was held at Faces at the time. Which is a club in Sacramento. And, during the day I was basically just walking down the street, with my pup hood on. I walked in and I was like, I'm here for the pup event. They're like, oh, we need to see ID in your face. And I was like, no, I'm good. And I just walked away. I went back to my car. That was my first event. And then basically I was like, I'm really scared. Like someone's going to know who I am if they like see me. And so, I went back the next time that they had it, which was a month after. And I was just like, okay, you know, I went with a friend basically that was a pup friend and they met me at the door and basically they're like, you know, just lift the hood up. They'll see your ID. They'll be the only person to see you. And then you can put it back on and be all good. I'm like, okay. I trust you. And so I did that and put it right back down. And they're like, okay, you know, good to go. You're able to drink and do all the other stuff. I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to go straight to that bar. So I had, you know, a couple rum and cokes. And they were doubles. They were strong Jack and Cokes. Mm. But I eased a little bit and started talking to people and started going to those kind of regularly and talking with other pups. And then I eventually like got on the mat to like play with other pups and then kind of found that headspace and the first few times that I went, I was doing nothing of the pup sort. It was literally just to cover my face.
Okay. Well, there you go. I mean, you very few pups will jump right in right at the beginning. I mean, a lot of folks are probably going to be just like you where they just kind of put their toe in the water and then it's like, somebody might know me. But you know, the thing is, it's kind of like I love the people that are like, on Grindr. It's like, I don't want anybody to see me on Grindr. It's like, if the person sees you on Grindr.
See, we don't think like think that. Think about though. It. We don't think like that right? I when know. We're in that situation. I know.
It's like, oh my God, somebody saw me on Grindr. And you're just like, wait a minute. they're on Grindr. Or it's like, somebody had a pup mosh. They were at a pup mosh. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. So like, do you remember the first FurCon that I went to when I met you? I was terrified of that, like of someone knowing that I was there.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, I wore my pup hood a lot at that con. And it took me quite a while to like be okay without the pup hood in those types of environments. And that's fine. That's like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely.
And basically I got used to it and going, okay, people don't really care that I'm here.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's not like they get on their Twitter feed and go, do you know who I saw at the FurCon?
Oh no, no. Twitter's going to die.
Well, why are you at a FurCon?
Twitter's all going to die at this point.
Well, I know, but back then the Twitter was the thing, you know, that the Twitter. Get on that Twitter. Now everybody's on Mastodon right?
What is that? Okay, wait, what?
That's the replacement for Twitter is Mastodon. I don't know. I have a social media director, so he told me that Mastodon is the way to go. So we put all the podcast stuff for the other podcasts on Mastodon.
So. Huh. Oh, okay. Well, I might need to make one.
It's apparently like Twitter, but not with melon husk.
So, yes. You know. Yeah, I understand all too much how that is going. So, okay. So I see one of the questions from the listeners.
Listener questions.
Because we're you know, diving right into that with the cons and stuff like that. With all the cons out there, what would you say are the top five conventions, from one being the best for a beginner first time to five not being for the faint of heart?
Five is MFF. I would say that too.
That's one hell of a fucking maze.
MFF, or what's the one in Chicago?
That is MFF.
Anthrocon. Oh no, what's Anthrocon. One in Pittsburgh? Anthrocon. Dr. Kage. Yeah, both of those would be. Those are pretty massive.
They're huge.
MFF is literally the largest in the world.
It certainly is. I looked at the numbers this year. They were, oh my God, they were a small city. Actually, they were a medium sized city, not a small city. They were a medium sized city.
Big city.
Yeah. I did some number checking, and actually, MFF had more attendees than Burning Man last year.
Whoa. Holy smokes. To put that into perspective.
Right? I told you.
A lot of folks know what Burning Man is. So to give you an idea of how big MFF is, it's bigger than Burning Man.
Oh my gosh. I want to go there someday. One day I'll go to MFF.
I do too. I want to go to, I want to go to both. Yeah, I want to go to Burning Man and MFF.
We should
In my opinion,
we should make a pact and go to
both. In my opinion, MFF is overrated.
Yes, what MFF is your opinion?
MFF is overrated.
What? Overrated. Well, you're a staff member on what AFC? Con? If we'll see. That's the best con in your book, right?
No, I wouldn't say that, actually. Oh,
okay.
I think it's great for beginners because it gives you a smaller con for you to, you know, kind of understand how things work, but also small cons have a totally different environment than larger cons do.
True.
But I think it is a good beginner con, 100%.
So I would definitely agree to that. Yeah. When I went to TFF, which is Texas Furry Fiesta,
right?
I absolutely loved the small atmosphere type of thing.
TFF isn't small. Well,
it's smaller than the ones.
It's not now. Well,
that's straight up like a medium sized con. It's not
definitely.
It's not a whole lot smaller actually than a BLFC.
I thought I feel like it was much smaller than BLFC because like
I think it has a smaller con feeling.
Maybe that's what it is.
The amount of people though is getting relatively close.
But I still think it's a good first con. I mean, TFF would be a good first con for somebody. You know, the smaller cons though, you've got to remember the tinier the con, the more likely it is a very small, tight knit group of people that are at that con. I point out Get Out the Float, which was a con in Seaside, Oregon this last October.
How many people were there?
I want to say maybe 120 total.
That's super small.
It was very tiny. Super small. Super small.
Wait, attendees of what?
It was called Get Out the Float.
Oh, yeah, that's and it was small.
It was what they called, what the chairman called, an accidental con, because it started out several years ago as just a fur meet, or actually a squeak meet, and it has morphed into this.
By the way, if anyone doesn't know what a squeak meet is, it usually means rubber. If I'm guessing correctly.
Correct. Yeah, rubbers, inflatables, yeah. Things like that, that. As opposed to, and then the Get Out the Float is a. It was always a pool party in the years past when it was just a meet, which was that's why Get Out the Float, get the pool floats out, the floaties, you know, so on and so on. It has since morphed into this little accidental con now, where they have huge bounce houses there.
That'd be so much fun.
It was so much fun. I mean, they had a bounce castle, they had a bounce ship, they had all sorts of inflatable stuff like that. It was a lot of fun, and it kind of specializes on that. So, but that was a small con.
You know how I was saying that they're about the same size. You want to hear the attendance last year?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, please.
TFF last year had 5,494 attendees.
Okay.
BLFC last year had 5,234 attendees.
Okay, so they're about the same size.
I think, so like for me, BLFC...
It's because TFF is spread out a little more, and it's not as... And it's more of a relaxed...
it's not as concentrated.
...hotel environment, right? It seems a lot bigger when you go to BLFC because of the casino and all that shit. And it's a little more spread out.
Yeah.
It's because it's so jammed together. Everything is... The BLFC is literally... Everything is all on the bottom floor for a lot of things.
Right. Right. You know, and it's like Further Confusion. I went there, and while it's not a huge con, I mean, Further Confusion, they had 4,600 this year in 2023. But... It feels a little bit smaller, if you will, because you can get out and do other things. You're not confined to one spot. Like a BLFC, you're at the casino, you're at that resort. You can't really walk downtown.
That's true, yeah.
So you're kind of stuck there in the whole thing. Whereas like FC, Ferlandia, those kind of different smaller cons, you can get out and do other things. Anthro Northwest in Seattle, you're right downtown Seattle. You can go do lots of other things other than stay at the con. So
that's actually a good point. FC definitely is probably a really good starting point, because, like, I mean, that was my first con, and I absolutely fell in love with going to them. And the party floor is just, you know, so iconic at FC. Because they take literally an entire floor and saran wrap the entire floor and walls to the hotel.
Yes.
And then basically open it to the entire con. And it's a drinking floor.
It's definitely a drinking floor. I went to that party, the floor, the first time this year.
Really?
All the other times I've been to FC, I've never gone to the party floor because I was always taking care of table.
Oh, yeah.
And Tabin wouldn't go to the party floor because he didn't want somebody, you know, spilling on him.
Yeah.
And rightfully so.
Fursuits are expensive. I understand.
Yeah. And when I went this year, when I checked into the hotel this year, Tabin wasn't there with me this year. I went to the hotel and they said, okay, we've got you in room 5 something something. I was like, no. They're like, why? I said, because 5th floor is right above 4th floor, which is the party floor. I will never get any sleep because loud music will come through the floor. So they put me on the 6th floor.
1 floor up. Just
1 floor up, which was better. I mean, I couldn't hear I could sometimes hear the bass line, but not too bad from the party floor. Yeah, but it was nice because I could just walk down 2 flights of stairs to the party floor and walk 2 flights up and didn't have to go elevator con. So... So that's the thing there. So conventions, you know, check with your local stuff. Check with your what's going on locally. Check with your local fur meets or pup moshes and see what's going on there. So
for sure,
the next question we have from
the local pups will know which con to go to, because they they kind of are in their own little clique as well when it comes to fur cons. All the pups kind of know all the other pups. And then there's, you know, some furries that know pups and pups that are furries. So they kind of all intermingle, but there's very niche group of pups that usually congregate together, as well as invite other pups that they see into their group to kind of hang out while they're at the fur con. So this definitely helps.
And one thing I noticed about BLFC is the pups during the day are usually just wearing their hoods. They're walking around doing their thing. Like 6 o'clock, the evening hits and you come downstairs and they're in their full gear right there in front of God and everybody.
Usually like ass 6 out, o'clock hits. Ass out, it's, you know.
Yep. Ass out, the onesies, the whole thing. Is, there's, but anyway, so the next question we have is, the question says, we know about Mr. S. Leather for puppy hoods, but aside from Etsy and Amazon, any other places you may know for other pets, such as horses, cats, dragons, bears, etc.?
Ooh, there's a, oh man, this is on the spot. Hold on. I gotta,
I would say a good place to start while you're doing some research there. A good place to start is like DeviantArt, any furry website that has links to artists that take commissions. You can commission anything from an artist if they work in the medium that you want. So, you know, a lot of fursuit makers will make pup hoods. I know a lot of, at FC there were in the vendor area, there was a lot of pup hoods available for sale at greater than Mr. S prices. Oh. And I'm talking about more expensive than Mr. S prices, which kind of blew me away at the FurCon, how expensive things were for the
industry. To be fair, though, they're not being mass produced, quote unquote. So, you got to take that into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, and the ones that were on display there were all for sale and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, and the other thing you can do is if you're at an event, a con somewhere, and you see somebody in stuff that you like that's not necessarily mainstream puppydom, ask them where they got it. Ask them if they made it. Ask them how they obtained those items. Canes, did you find what you're looking for?
Yes.
And what did you find?
The Kinksters.
The Kinksters.
Yes. It's a UK store. Now, I've never ordered from them, but I have seen them before, and they have a lot of different gear. Now it's cheaper, but I don't know necessarily about like the quality, because I've never ordered from them, but it would be definitely interesting to see. They have a lot of different types of hoods and stuff like that from there.
Well, we'll have to maybe purchase something not so expensive and see what the quality is, and wait that 20 weeks while it sits in customs trying to explain. The Kinksters. Yeah,
there's that one. There's also what's the website for the did we talk about the chewable bones, the food grade safe?
Yes, a couple of episodes ago for toys and stuff.
So like there's stuff like that you can find. There's also like if you ever get a chance to go, for listeners, if you ever go to like a kink event, so like something that comes to mind is like, you know, in like Berlin for like their Folsom Fair, or you know, San Francisco's Folsom Fair. Well, you know what I mean, like their
version.
Their version of like Folsom Street Fair, or if you go to like, what's the other one called?
Amsterdam.
Well, there's Amsterdam, and then there's also not Folsom Street for Dory Alley.
Oh yes, 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 yes.
So if you go to those events, there's a lot of vendors there that actually like sell a bunch of like gear for that type of stuff.
Yeah. Which actually brings us to our next question. Where do you recommend getting toys or other kink related contraptions? And is there any good resources to find the name for things? I love this part of the question. The name for things other than it was a thing with a hole and screws in it that squeezes nuts. Now,
that is called a ball crusher.
When I saw that question come in, I actually typed that question into Google. That thing with a hole that squeezes nuts. And you know what I got a whole bunch of results for? Was actually nutcrackers for actually like cracking walnuts and pecans and things like that. And I thought, which could also work very much so, yes.
Be careful, listeners. Don't crush nuts.
So crush. Hey, it's a kink. It's a kink. You can crush
it. It's fine.
Yes, but be careful, please.
Yes. Well, it's like I posted on a Telegram today. I said, you know, yesterday I spent 2 hours slapping a guy in the nuts. That's what he liked. So,
which is really hot.
Okay. It's like he came three times. So, you know, he just liked those nuts being slapped. And who am I to deny someone their pleasure? I mean, you know, really. So here's a couple of things. If you want to know the names of things, I mean, literally, I did a little more refined search on Google, and I actually found a sex device that had a hole in it that squishes your nuts with screws. It's like, okay, so you can kind of do a little research there.
Ball crushers.
Ball crushers, right. You know, and remember, if you type in nuts in the internet, it's going to come up with nuts, like peanuts and things like that. You know, if you had to say, you know, sexual ball crushers and things like that will give you the search down.
So, like, for that, if you do, like, CBT, like, toys, Google will know kind of where you're going with that and actually bring up more things. So, especially if you add, like, kink to it. It will usually filter out
but
a lot.
But be careful.
Be
careful because now I'm getting ads popping up everywhere on my things about, oh, you know, so you type in CBT and cock and ball torture. And guess what? You start seeing those side ads pop up of those things. And if you have a family computer and somebody else logs into the interwebs, they might be a little embarrassed.
So what we're saying is go to the library.
Right.
Do it at the and library. Search for whatever
or
you
when
want.
You're done, search for post-it notes for like 15 minutes, and then all your office supply stuff will start popping up in your ads. Yes, Loki?
Fun fact. Did you know that you could buy ball crushers that have e-stim pads on the inside of them?
I did not, but that sounds very interesting.
With a self-contained power unit.
Ooh. Well, now.
You can even buy them off Amazon. They're like $30.
Wow. Okay. Nice. Nice. Now, here's the thing. Oh, here's a... Yes?
Speaking of e-stim, so someone had a question in our Telegram chat.
Right.
And I want to touch base on it little bit. Because I was listening to the e-stim podcast. So we touch on like shock collars, for instance, on the
yes, I remember the shock collar on you,
the e-stim. So when you're doing that, yes, it is dangerous to have it on max. You can hurt yourself. I just want to make it clear that you're not trying to actually put them on the ground or make them convulse with the shock collar.
That's a bad thing. Yes.
Yes. That is a bad thing. You can blow out of like a vein if you do it. So please do not do that. And if you're scared of it, a lot of shock collars have a vibrating feature to basically, instead of the shock, it's a vibration. Just to give you that feel. And it's more of a power play than the actual physical hurting of you. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Right. And, yes. despite what you see on sitcoms on TV, when they think it's fun to do that, they're not actually shocking the actor, by the way. No. It's all acting. So while it looks funny, it's not funny in real life at all.
It hurts. Yes. If you've ever been shocked by anything like that.
Electric fences are better.
Yes, because they pulsate.
Not all of them.
But yeah, so I just wanted to touch base. And if you guys like listening, if you do have questions, like join the Telegram. We are always free to talk. We love talking to you guys, the listeners. And, you know, if you guys have questions about specific episodes, that's where we can field a lot of these questions. Yeah.
So getting back to where you can buy things and want to know the names of things, you know, I've purchased items from Fort Trough, a place it's online, it caters to the gay community. They've got some pup hoods and some hood stuff there. I've been on UDATS, which is it's Oriental based. I've ordered a few things from there and I'm like, but you know, where you go. Extreme Restraints is a really good place. It's kind of like the Kingsters website, but it's here in America. Their prices are mid-range, but their products are very good. The stuff that I've ordered from them are very, very good. Adam Mail, and then what I found today when I was doing research for the answer, Boys Shop, BOYZSHOP, and they've got some really good and interesting stuff there at that shop. So
I'm going to look at it right now.
There you go.
Ooh, hello.
Right.
Sexy models.
Sexy models. And they do not, kind of like Fort Trough, you can actually get videos on everything and get stuff, how to do stuff and what to do there. So they're educational as well as informational and having you have some products. But you know what? If you want to know the name of something and you really, I mean, go to your local adult shop. Go to your local sex shop.
Yes and look. No. I've had very bad experiences. So like I've gone to Kiss and Tell before, mm-hmm. and like it depends on who you get.
Okay.
Sometimes there's someone that might be, you know, might know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then there's other times that they're like, "Oh, this is our best thing," and you're like, This is not a crop. Right. Like this is a child's toy compared to the crop that I want.
Right. Yeah.
So there is definitely know where you're shopping, and know like the clientele that they're going to be getting. So like Kiss and Tell is obviously going to be more vanilla esque type of stuff. Again, it's not saying that they're not all like that, but the ones that are that I've been to are very vanilla oriented. But again, you can do a lot of research online.
Sure.
And again, talk to us. But
here's what I'm saying is, I mean, you can go to the bookstore and not, or and to the adult shop and not ask anybody, but look at everything on the shelves and go, "Oh, that's what that's called."
Oh, yes, yeah. You can do that. Yeah.
Totally just, you know, window shop. It's like, "Oh, it's called a nut crusher. I was looking for such and such. Oh, that's what it's called." Yeah.
Plastic plates.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, right. Yeah. Okay. So there's all those kind of stuff like that. Now, here's a question for this is definitely a pup type question. What are your thoughts and opinions on gifting someone a hood and a collar?
Ooh. So it depends. Okay. There's a fine line here in my opinion. Okay. So if you've known the pup or the person for a very long time and you just want to help them get, you know, some gear, there's a difference to that. Which is fine. You just need to clarify that this is a gift, not a like collaring type of thing.
Right. I'm your benefactor. Here you go. Here's some bucks. I'll buy it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Like there's a difference to that. So like if you were to give someone something, just make sure you're saying that it's a gift, not a like clarify contract. To them.
It's not a contract.
Yes, right. That's a good way of putting it. Mm-hmm. It's not a contract to be my puppy or be a part of that. Or if it is, then make it clear that this is a contract. Right. That communication has to be there when you're dealing with gear. Because I've heard it so many times with pups getting into situations or expecting something in return and not getting that in return. So just keep that in mind when you're doing that type of stuff.
Right. And that's what I was going to say is, you know, if you both agree that this is what you're going to do, great. I mean, again, it all comes down to consent and communication. I would not randomly buy a hood and a collar and just give it to somebody.
No.
Personally, I wouldn't do that.
It's probably not even going to be their color that they want.
Right. I mean, you know, I know you two very well. I'm not going to buy either one of you a hood because
we have too many hoods.
I know, but I'm just saying I wouldn't just buy a random hood and say, oh, you're a puppy. Here's a hood. I'm like, no, that's dumb.
I will let a puppy borrow one.
I will gladly accept any and all gifts. Just pointing that out there. I'm a broke bitch too.
Spoken like a true owned pup.
I'm a broke bitch too, so.
There you go. Yes. Yes.
But yes, so, it's definitely like I will let a pup borrow one, say, like, you know, if we're at a con and I notice that a pup doesn't have one and I have an extra one, I normally will have one specifically for letting people try on. It's usually like a more of a play hood or something that I don't care about as much, or it's like a hand-me-down hood. That's the one that I kind of like, you know, throw around a lot, has wrinkles and stuff like that, but it gets you in that feel of, okay, this is what a hood feels like. It's not necessarily for aesthetics at that point.
Right. Yeah.
But again, I expect it to be returned to me because yes, it is an expensive hood.
You're loaning it. You're borrowing. They're not, you're not giving it to them.
What the fuck? Sorry. I'm looking. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I'm looking at, like, sex.
Yes.
Looking at sex stuff from different websites. You know, like, reciprocating saws, like sawzalls?
Yeah, sawzalls, yeah.
They literally just ripped off, like, the head of it and then put, like, a rod in a, like, open piece so it goes inside the dildo, nice. You know? To mount onto it, but it's literally a fucking corded sawzall. Nice.
Okay. Yeah.
How fast is
Tell me that's not what the fuck that is.
Oh, that is totally. You need to take a photo of that, like screenshot it, so we can put it onto the episode. Is there a way to like link like an image to the actual episode? Okay, we need to put this on the episode.
Oh yeah, because absolutely,
Totally hilarious.
I have to tell you, so that brings up an interesting point. I remember when I was 12 years old, and my buddy and I built a tree house, quote unquote, in his tree. It was pretty well put together, but he brought up this magazine that was a gay magazine. And there was pictures of these guys.
It's the literally Shag and
Shag. Big, they were literally beating their dicks and their balls with just like ball peen hammers.
Nice.
And using Black and Decker drills with things attached to it, with dildos attached to it. And I'm like, yeah, no. Power tool sex. Yep, that's what it was. I was like, oh wow, okay. Not sure that I want that spinning that fast ass.
We have literally made a whole new.
That's
kink.
Been a thing for a hot minute.
Power tool sex.
That's been a thing for a long time.
Hashtag. You know.
Black and Decker pecker wrecker. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Black and Decker pecker. What wrecker?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well, to be fair, yes. Right? This one thing, it's labeled as bang a hole fucking kit.
Bang a hole fucking kit. What website is this on?
No. Don't name the website.
Don't name the website. Okay.
Just take a screenshot of it.
I already did.
All right.
I put it in the Discord.
I heard it.
Okay, go great.
Yeah.
Great. Jesus. Oh my gosh. Okay.
So let's get back to the puppy world. So the one listener wants to know, and we've talked about this, and we've talked about actually having a whole show on this, but they want to know, before going to a mosh for the first time, what should I expect and what are your experiences? Now,
so it depends on the type of mosh mm-hmm. you're talking about. So I think we talked about this in a specific episode.
We did, but I think we're going to assume that this question is like a public mosh at like a local gay club or something. So,
okay. So if it's a local pup mosh, most of the time it's not going to be sexual orientated. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at a bar. A lot of times they are 21 and over. Mm-hmm. I don't know of any in California that are 18 and over at this point. Because actually, it's
Baypaw just moved to a public venue. They announced really? That they announced that at FC, they have a public venue, no age restrictions.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty big because it's very big.
It's also slightly concerning in some degree.
As long as you're, you know, I think it's 18 and over.
No, it's anyone.
Yeah, they said it's a fully public area.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they should ban people under 18. Not ban them, but ban, like put something on their wrist or mark them some way.
Yeah. And they may be, but they just announced that they were all inclusive. FC does that.
So yeah. like FC, like cons do that too. Because it is open to public, but a lot of the minors will have some sort of thing on them that shows, hey, these are minors. Don't hit
tattoos.
Tattoos on the minors. Yeah. It says minor on their forehead in permanent ink. Yeah. Don't let your son go down on me. So the next question. So the.
Oh, God.
It's a music lyric. It's like.
Okay. Going back. No sidetrack.
Back. So I would say, here's some things. Now, I'm fairly new to the pup world. So I'm going to say my take on your first mosh, even if it's, you know, public mosh. So bring a change of clothes with you. Because you're going to get sweaty. Bring what I would call a kit with you, with some water, maybe some snacks, something to, especially if you're by yourself and you don't have somebody looking after you, these kind of things. Maybe bring some deodorant with you. So when you're done, you don't smell bad.
Yeah.
So, just a little kit.
Yeah.
But that's.
No, I like where you're going with that, because I think sometimes we do, as puppies, get a little sidetracked when we're in that like atmosphere for the first time, that we might forget to, actually have food and have water. And some of these moshes are like 3 or 4 hours long that you are hanging out with people. And a lot of times you're drinking or you're on a mat playing with other pups. You're exerting a lot of energy for a long period of time. And if you're not used to that, you're going to get dehydrated. And we don't want any pup to, pass out on the mat.
Right.
It does happen. Not judging anyone, it does happen. Just try to look after yourself before you get into that pup headspace, because you might, remember as you're, pupping out to, oh yes, drink water, or have a snack. Might something that, bring a fanny pack. I know it might not look great, but it's still, beneficial.
Sure. I mean, anything Yes.
Also, keep in mind, you don't hydrate for the day. You hydrate for tomorrow. That your body does not take Correct. In water the same day. You have to hydrate the day before.
Yes.
And the day of.
Then why do the massage people always tell you to drink lots of water when you're done getting a massage if you don't absorb it till the next day?
It's because it helps your body fill. Your body will try to bruise a lot of times after massages, but it takes a couple days. So if you're really well hydrated, it won't. You're less likely to bruise.
Oh, okay.
If that makes any sense from like massage and things like that.
That does make sense. Now, the other thing about moshes, if you're going there and it's your first mosh and you're not going with anybody, remember you may not get along with all the pups there.
That's very true.
Just because they're pups, you may not get along with them. And it's
don't fuck them, but fuck them.
Fuck them. Fuck them all. Fuck them if they can't take a choke.
Well, it's fine. If they're choking, they can't say anything.
That's true. There's going to be body contact. You know, scope out the room when you get there. Figure out who the handlers are. Figure out who the alphas are.
I can tell you right now.
Maybe
the handlers are going to be sipping a beer in all leather, most likely, smoking a cigar.
Yes.
Or like talking with other.
Okay, just because that's your fantasy does not mean that is the stereotypical handler. No.
I've been to plenty of moshes, and there are always at least a couple handlers in the corner watching everything happen. Also, mm-hmm.
That's me, by the way. I'm with the scotch and the cigar in the corner, watching everything going on, making sure everybody's staying safe, man.
And then there's usually a monitor that is watching the actual mosh happen as well, mm-hmm. and. They're usually floating around on the mats and checking on the pups. You can also just signal them going, hey, you know, I'm very new to this. You know, is there anyone that I should talk to get more information or anything like that? There are plenty of people there that will help you in any regard. If it's a good community, if it's not a good community, reach out to me. I will hurt them personally. Not really.
And we'll find you.
We will try to find you a good community. I know yep. a lot of different communities. We try to get those pups that are lost and into good communities.
Well, that's been a good episode. We've Holy been smoke, over an hour already.
Wow.
Right?
It's already 7 o'clock.
It's already 7 o'clock. A whole hour has gone past.
Time to go to bed.
God, no.
Time to go to that twin bed that you've got there for the two of you. But at least it's not 6 inches bed. From the ceiling. So it's a full bed, sorry. So, which is really only like 6 inches wider than a twin, isn't it?
No, it's actually a decent bit wider.
We're also both small too, and we sleep both on our sides. So we don't really.
And they're both very cute, by the way. But
no, I'm not cute.
That's a lie.
Loki is very, very cute, but I'm not.
Again, you need to stop lying. That's going to cause you to go to hell if you believe in religion.
Oh, we already know I'm going to hell. If there is a hell, I am definitely going to it.
Oh, that's where the party yes. is, man.
Okay, so
that's where all the furries are. That's where all the pups are. And they're just fucking 24/7. Yep. I'm okay with this.
It's actually 16 inches wider.
Loki is 16 inches wider. No, the bed is 16 inches wider. Okay.
So, you know how we were talking about like comparison between California King and the Alaskan Kings, right?
Yeah.
So a California King is 72 inches wide by 84 inches long, right?
Okay.
An Alaskan King is 108 inches long and wide.
Holy fuck.
That's
huge.
It's typically sleets four people comfortably.
I totally want to go someplace and sleep on an Alaskan King.
They're $5,000 for the mattresses.
That's not bad. I dropped
for
that
something
on,
that big, yeah. That ain't shit.
I know. I dropped that on my regular California King. Interesting. Interesting. Well, you've been listening to Off Leash, a definitely not safe for work podcast, although this one is fairly safe, about puppy play, human puppy play and consensual sexual kinks. I've been Barely Normal.
And I have been Canes.
And I've been Lucky.
And we have not been safe for work, by the way. We've been talking about drilling,
sorta.
You know, tools and sex tools.
Okay, that's true. Maybe we weren't safe for work. All right, so a sex safe. No, nope. Never mind. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye.